Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Makone Maja. Let us get into our discussion of today, and what else can we talk about? But once again, coalitions, coalitions, coalitions. And there's an interesting editorial in Business Day Live, which I think is very much worth discussing, and that is that the coalition negotiations are an opportune moment for the opposition to strike down national health insurance, which the government recently passed. So the ANC kind of hoped that going into the election that its long-promised NHI bill might win it votes. It's difficult to say whether it did, but it seems, in fact, if judging by the ANC's polls in the days after they signed the NHI bill into law, their polling went actually quite significantly down. So it's very possible that it actually hurt them. So they may not be as pleased with it as they were previously. And it's worth noting that not only the DA is opposed to the NHI bill, but the EFF is as well, actually. And as far back as 2023, they've put out statements basically criticizing aspects of the bill. Some of those criticisms I would agree with. Some of them claiming that it's some sort of sellout to parts of the private sector I would not agree with. But be that as it may, I think this is an interesting example of how our politics has actually changed now. In the past, getting the government to repeal something like NHI would take an enormous amount of public pressure, campaigning, years of bad effects, money running out, all sorts of stuff like that. But now, the smaller parties in the country have an opportunity to actually force the ANC, if it wants to hold on to its grip on power, to actually get rid of NHI. Makone, do you think that they should negotiate such a thing? And do you think it would make sense to be an objective of any political party's coalition agreement?
I'm also excited, Nick, about the loss of the ANC majority insofar as it means that the wheels of democracy actually begin to move, right? Because with a single party majority government, you have a lot of functions of democracy being held for ransom, right? Like we've for 30 years had a legislature that's effectively the executive and works to protect the executive against consequences. So I think that the ANC does get to jettison a lot of its bad policy without doing anything. They just get to bat it to either of its coalition partners. If it's with the DA, then they bat it the DA's way and the DA just rejects it outright without the ANC suffering so many consequences because they have to make concessions to please their coalition partners. I think the NHI is one opportunity. The expropriation bill, which hasn't yet been signed, but is with the president, that the Institute has petitioned against because of its expropriation without compensation clauses and other detrimental clauses, is another that the DA, I'm sure, would want off the table if it were, well, I assume it would want off the table if it were to proceed with a coalition with the ANC and perhaps others like the Bella Bill as well, right? It limits the autonomy of SGB, school governing bodies, and members of schools, departments, high schools, departments, primary school departments, basic education departments, and defers that authority to members of the bureaucracy within government education departments, bigger government education departments. So I hope that, I think the ANC gets to get away with having those policies being negotiated out in order to enter into a partnership with one or either of the parties.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to watch, I think, Parliament over the next couple of years, as I've said over the last couple of days on the show. And one of the interesting things to keep an eye on is going to be what the MK party does in Parliament. So far, it really doesn't seem like MK has much of a parliamentary strategy. Their strategy up till now has been to declare that they, in fact, won the election and that it was all stolen from them. And in fact, they're not going to take up their 58 seats, which, despite the MK's claims, won't do a thing to change the composition of Parliament. In fact, it will probably just limit their influence and make them disappear off of the stage. So I wonder whether they are going to show up. And if they do show up, are they going to back policies that their platform agrees with, or are they just going to play in a spoiler role, vetoing everything? I don't know. What are your thoughts on what role they might play?
I think they've acknowledged that they don't have enough seats to prohibit Parliament from quorating. They said they're hoping that because there's so many other parties who are disgruntled with the outcome of the election, I think there's something like upwards of 500 objections to the vote. They're hoping that they can, together with the other parties, form enough seats, which I understand. Is it that Parliament needs 166 seats in order to quorate?
It's 201, I think.
201. So it's 166 seats of people who'd have to not show up for Parliament to quorate. So they'd need to get like 110 more seats to be able to stop Parliament from holding its first session. But yeah, I'm also keen to observe how the structures or the lack of structures within the MK pans out over the next couple of weeks, because they've also said that they want to change their list going into Parliament. The EFF has also made the same statement. The EFF will be punishing members of the EFF who did not do any political participation or electioning going into the elections. But as I understand it, there are rules that prohibit that, that you can only change after 12 months or so. But I read a statement by the MK spokesperson saying that's not how the rules are. So there'll probably be a contest over how the rules apply there, whether they will actually be allowed to change their list now that I think they've performed better than they themselves expected. And so there's probably much for them to consider and to put in place within the next 2 weeks.
Definitely. It's really interesting right now. Everything I'm hearing about every single one of the four biggest parties in the country, the ANC, DA, EFF, MK, is that there is quite a bit of internal squabbling going on inside each of them as for the way forward, because I think no one really expected this particular result. And I think there's a lot of disagreements inside every one of South Africa's major political parties about how to play the new political field, because things have indeed changed so much, despite the fact that the ANC remains the biggest party in the country. Just your thoughts specifically on what direction you think the country should take in terms of coalitions or supply and confidence agreements. Firstly, which parties do you think should try and form a government? If you could choose, which ones would you pick out of the ones we have available? And how would you structure that agreement? I myself am in favor of a DA-ANC supply and confidence agreement, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Mkhonya.
Yeah, so I've said before that I don't like the broad categories of coalition agreements, like just that there should be one model that sort of isomorphic mimicry of fitting a model onto a government without first adapting the coalition agreement. So I think the devil's in the details for me. They should work out those agreements right down to the detail. I do think that parties should maintain some sense of autonomy, right? Especially opposition parties, both the DA, the EFF, and the NK. If they are to go into these coalitions, they shouldn't be put in a position where they have to vote with the ANC on every single issue, because that's exactly why people voted the way that they did. It was to create that distinction between members of the legislature and members of the executive, because the legislature has allowed the executive to get away with so many crimes over the years. So coalitions that I favor, we said before on this part that people want the DA to go into police the ANC. I wonder how much of that actually taints the DA, how much the DA gets its hands dirty in that. If there was an ANC-DA coalition, I would hope that the DA go in for specific portfolios within the executive, like Ministry of Police. I'd want the DA to get in there. Ministry of Education. I'd also want autonomy, or not necessarily autonomy, but I'd want the National Assembly, the House of the National, the Speaker of the National Assembly to be taken away from the ANC. Whether I'd want that too if it was the EFF, right? So yeah, for the EFF, I'd give them fluffier ministries and cabinet, like travel and tourism. I would not hand them our education system. I would not hand them our finance ministry. but I'm pretty much open to whichever coalition is going to bring about stability. I'm not confident that that's going to be the ANC and the DA because of what happened in 1996 when the National Party withdrew from the government of national unity, because it's just so many conflicts that you can't write between the two parties. They're just so different. They are
Right.
antithetical
This
to each other.
is exactly the point I made on the show yesterday, was that, at the end of the day, there has to be a government policy. And if you're on the completely opposite way of fixing every single solution, that's not the so-called stability that so many in the business community seem to be searching for. That's just chaos, gridlock, all sorts of stuff. I definitely agree with you that, we're about to enter an age of political dynamism within Parliament. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to tie parties together again and stamp down that political dynamism. Parliament must be reinvigorated and made a much more important place in our politics, I think, than it has been up till now.
Exactly. There will be an erasure of polyvocality if the DA has to, or the EFF or the MK has to side with every single one of the ANC's decisions. And so their distinct voices must still prevail no matter what coalition they get into. Otherwise, are they even opposition anymore?
Right. All right. One last thing to talk about, I think, before we close today, and that is this column by Peter Bruce, who is, in my opinion, a commentator who sometimes hits and sometimes misses, but I think this is probably a hit, is that he's complaining about the fact that there are only 2 weeks, as per the constitutional foundations as of how the election is supposed to be set up, for parties to get the results and then decide who they're going to form a coalition with. And as he says, that's an absurdly short time. I kind of agree. When you look at some other countries, I think, for example, the Germany, they go on for ages negotiating their agreements, and they come down to the most minute details about them. And I know the DA has tried to push a similar thing in its own coalition agreements in South Africa in the municipalities. But generally speaking, we've also had the kind of opposite coalition, like as exists between the ANC and EFF in municipalities like Ekurhuleni, where the agreement seems to be essentially a number of verbal commitments that no one really agrees on the exact contours of, and as a result, they seem to fight all the time. I mean, Makone, what's your take on this?
I agree with Peter Bruce. I think that somebody wrote as well, I believe yesterday, I just don't recall the name of the author, that the authors of the Constitution did not foresee that a party would lose its majority and there'd be so many sectarians that make up government without majority really resting or vesting in one big party. And so there seems to be some oversight there. Not sure about a year. I think that's one fifth of a presidential term. I would be in favor of, I think Marius's article, which was I think in The Citizen, speaks about it maybe lasting a month of worth of negotiations. I'm more open to that. I think a year just creates way too much uncertainty. I'm not sure how it works in Germany, how the government continues to operate when they take a year out to negotiate coalitions, but I would be more open to it lasting at most a month to wrangle out those details of the coalition agreement.
No, I think that's a much more reasonable time. Doubles the amount of time you currently have, and ensures that whatever agreement has come to is a much better codified and thought out one, so that we don't, in 2 years from now, have just unexpectedly the country being thrown into chaos and we're getting a new president all of a sudden, which is entirely possible in a lot of ways in our current system. We shall have to see what happens.
Yeah, that's another one to look forward to, is the emergence of laws that govern coalitions, because we haven't had any. And so things like thresholds for how, if you have a coalition of government of national unity, what would the threshold be there? But those are things that I'm clearly looking
I
forward
would.
to, because I thought the ANC would have veto power, but now they've lost majority, so they need to come to the
Yes.
table.
I would not be surprised if the bigger parties actually all get together and put in something like you need 1% of the vote in order to get any seats in parliament whatsoever. That would not surprise me at all. Although I'm sure that'll cause a big stink if they do try that, because a lot of the very small parties, and I'm thinking particularly people with high media profiles but few seats like Boso or Rise Mzansi, will get very upset about that development. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We hope that you found this show interesting. That's a wrap. We won't have a show tomorrow on Friday, but we will be back on Monday with the half-hour version of the show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful weekend. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedayfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.